I wonder, have you ever had your sports day at school yet? Have you? Some of you have, I know. You've had your sports day at school. And maybe you've done the egg and spoon race, and maybe you've even run an obstacle race through hoops or around cones. You know, if you only had an egg in your hand, it would be easy to run, wouldn't it? But with the spoon's a wee bit of, maybe you could call it, it makes things a wee bit difficult. It's a kind of an obstacle, isn't it? And then, of course, there is this sack race, and the sack is a kind of an obstacle because you can't go as hard as you would like, or you might trip up and fall sometimes. Another obstacle that gets in your way is the high jump. Now, I used to love the high jump when I was at school. In fact, I used to love the long jump as well, and I used to really love the 100 yards. We don't have 100 yards anymore. The 100 yards, 100 meter race, you know. So, but you know, that's a bit of an obstacle, that high jump, to get over too. But you know, it's great whenever you get to the goal. It's great when you win and when you reach the goal. Of course, you don't worry if you're last. And I've heard this week about some who came in last. You know, we told our children, well, it was exams or sports. We told them, you do your best. God doesn't expect any more. You do your best, even if you come in last, as long as you've done your best. Now, this is a little bit like, let's compare it with running for Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that if we are Christians, and I know many of you boys and girls are Christians, maybe most of you are, and if we are Christians, we're in a race and we're following Jesus and we're trusting in Jesus. But even though we are, sometimes life can be very difficult for us at school or at home or whenever we grow up, wherever. And obstacles get in the way. When I was a missionary many, many years ago in Europe, there was a big, big obstacle in the way. And it was in the way for lots and lots of missionaries, because they would have loved to have gone and live in some of those countries, but they weren't allowed. Now, we could travel in for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and we didn't have any contact with home either during that time. And we were able to go in and help in those communist countries, as they were called. But you know, this is one of my treasures, and it's a very special one. And you probably can't see it, so let me show it to you on the screen. There it is. Anybody know what it is? Any of the children know what it is? No volunteers. I don't see any hands. All right, we'll put it in there, and you can have a look at it afterwards, if you wish. Well, you know, it's part of what was called the Iron Curtain. Now, it wasn't a real curtain like you think of a curtain in your house, but it was a real iron barrier. And there's a picture of a very, very tiny part of it running through a few fields. But, you know, this Iron Curtain ran right down through the middle of Europe after World War II, from Finland in the north to the Black Sea, over 4,000 miles long. Now, it didn't always look that type of barrier, but it was always something similar in every place. And that meant that missionaries were not allowed to live in Eastern Europe, in the communist countries there. And it was such a big obstacle that you couldn't get from one side to the other. And this area along the Iron Curtain here, it's really called no man's land. And if you tried to cross here, well, you better not try to cross there in those days and those years, because if you tried to cross there, you would have been shot or electrocuted, actually. And there were watchtowers everywhere. Oops, wrong way. Oh, we're going back now. Let's go forward. Right, there were watchtowers everywhere. And on top of the watchtowers, there were always soldiers day and night, keeping an eye out for people who might try to cross, or if there was a lake, even try to swim across and get out of the communist country. So it was very difficult as well for Christians. And the only place you could cross was at a border. And if you had special permission, and if you produced $20 or $30 a day and things like that, very few people were allowed to come out of the countries to us here in the West. And there were often long queues of cars at the borders. Now, this is actually after the wall fell, but and all the Trabants were heading for Hungary and Czechoslovakia and so on. But there were very often long queues of cars at the borders, and there was also a thorough search of the car. When I and my colleague were going in, you know, we could expect to be searched. The back seats would be thumped under the car, they would put a mirror, and they would look at everything that you had, and all the luggage. They would really search very, very hard, and they would ask you lots of questions as well. Do you have any drugs? Do you have any Bibles? I wonder why they're scared of the Bible. Such good news. And once I was asked to take off my shoes, for some reason or another. Well, anyway, there was always a thorough search. But even if there weren't long queues of cars, you could be waiting for 3, 4, 5 hours at the border. They just took their time. And in cities like Berlin, there wasn't the curtain, the Iron Curtain, but there was a big wall. Just ran down the middle of a street, if that was the border between east and west of Berlin. And with barbed wire on the top. And the communist countries didn't want their people to leave. And as I said, it was very difficult for Christians there to tell others about Jesus. And some I met had spent time in prison because of that. There was one man who had, now he didn't have to go to prison, but he had a very tough time because he's turned his house into a camp house for the summer for children's camps. And a year before the camp, he had to submit all that he was going to teach the children to the authorities. And if they didn't like it, they told him he couldn't do it. And in most countries, actually, children's meetings were forbidden. But, you know, all that has changed. Why? The watchtowers now, they're just rusting towers of metal or whatever. The electric fence is no longer alive, no longer works. Why has it changed? Because almost 25 years ago, God did a miracle. Now, you asked your grandparents about that, or an older person if they remember that. When no one expected it, God took away this obstacle, which was really an obstacle to the spread of the gospel as well. The Berlin Wall fell, the Iron Curtain collapsed. Missionaries could then go in and live there, in Poland, into East Germany, into Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, even Russia and Albania. In fact, a couple of our young people are going to Romania today, and I'm sure they won't be asked to take off their shoes at the border either, or asked if they've got Bibles with them. So, things have changed, and here we are. This is our verse. You know, the Bible tells us how to deal with obstacles that come in our way, whether they're big or small. It says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." And you can't run the race with Jesus unless you start with Jesus. So I hope that all you boys and girls have already started with Jesus. I just came to know him as a Christian as my Savior when I was 7 years old. And I know some children who have been younger than that. Let us run with patience. Patience. That just really means endurance. Keep on. Keep at it. Don't give up. You know, if you're in a race, things can get in the way. Some real obstacles. People. Some will laugh at you. Some will lead you astray. Others may not encourage you. Sin can get in the way. Just before this, in this verse, it tells you about sin, that you should get rid of it. Because it will keep you back. Those bad habits, lying, disobeying. Anything Jesus doesn't like, just ask him to forgive you and he will help you. You may not have an iron curtain as an obstacle in your Christian life, but you might have other things. Like temptation to do wrong, or not taking enough time because life is too busy at school and so on, not enough time for God. And sometimes these temptations come even from your friends. And let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's so important, boys and girls. It's like keeping your eye on the goal, at the tape at the end of the race, isn't it? You won't let anyone or anything distract you from following Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him and what he has done for you on the cross. What he has told you in the Bible and what he is doing for you now. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Have a look at that when you go home. Hebrews chapter 12 at the beginning of the chapter.